your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Happy Thursday. Headlines on Softy and Dick live from the Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
He's with me behind bars.
How about this? You want to go watch the Seahawks and Titans on Sunday? VenueKings.com could get you in the door for $90 right now on the website.
That's incredible.
The lowest get-in price for a Seahawks home opener I can ever remember. Well, big news in baseball. It is official. The 2023 Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming to Seattle.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here in Seattle, and even a greater pleasure to make it official. Major League Baseball has awarded the 2023 All-Star Game to Seattle and the Seattle Mariners.
That is the voice of Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred making the news official today for the third time in franchise history. 1979, 2001, the All-Star Game will be in the Emerald City. Mariners, by the way, dropping 2 out of 3 to Boston. Now 4 games out in the wild card race. Day off tonight. 3 games at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City tomorrow. Chris Flexen, Yusei Husse, What Kikuchi, and Logan Gilbert on the mound this weekend for the M's.
We've got football tonight,
yes,
right here on 950 KJR. Washington hosting the Giants. Taylor Heinicke gets the start for Washington, replacing the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick.
What else we got? NFL news, Seahawks and Titans on Sunday in Seattle. Titans injury report is out. Outside linebacker Bud Dupree limited today in practice, but wide receiver A.J. Brown was full go for Tennessee.
And the NHL says that 98 to 99% of the league will be vaccinated by opening night.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Baseball, Angels two-way star Shohei Ohtani was scheduled to pitch tomorrow. He's been scratched because of arm soreness, and Angels manager Joe Maddon now says he may not pitch the rest of the year, which is like 12 more days.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, kiddos, here we go. For the first time since January of 2020, it is my pleasure to say welcome back to the Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue. It has been too damn long since we were allowed to venture into this establishment. I think it is one of the premier destinations on the east side, right there with the 520 Bar and Grill across the way. And of course, I'm mentioning both those places because they're owned by the same damn people in the Brazen family. So big thanks to Joseph and Randy Brazen for having us out here. And, you know, look, full disclosure, we're doing this to make life easier on Mike Holmgren, who lives down the road in Kirkland. The guy's not even here. He decides
so
to
wait, hold on. We're fighting traffic at 5:30 this afternoon for no Mike Holmgren. Huh?
Yeah, we're going to bitch him out when he gets back here in a couple weeks. Okay. So the whole thing, you know, do I have to go all the way into Seattle? Well, you know, if we could find a bar, a restaurant, or some kind of establishment, watering hole, maybe in his words, a tavern or a saloon, and do
the show on
the east side and make it easy for you. I mean, his house is 10 minutes away, for God's sakes, and the guy decides to take a freaking train trip around the Canadian Rockies during the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Like, this was surprising that football starts this month.
Well, Mike Holmgren can do whatever Mike Holmgren wants to do.
Guess.
That's one. And two, I can see that he has a slight excuse because he couldn't take a Canadian trip for the last 18 months. It's only been open for a month, so he was kind of forced into it. If he was going to do it, he was kind of forced into doing it.
Kind of like you and missing the NFC
That's
Championship.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Trip to Hawaii and Jackson missing the MLS Cup because he had a trip to Walla Walla or whatever the hell it was.
Honeymoon in the Caribbean.
Oh, a honeymoon in the Caribbean. I'm sorry. Jeez, I apologize. Well, we're going to bust his balls for sure when he comes back here. But, hey, the news is official, right? The All-Star Game is coming to town. I mean, obviously, we all knew about this a couple of days ago, courtesy of Jeff Passan, so no surprise. But I just think, just to kind of reiterate what we said a couple of days ago, the timing of this potentially could be perfect. The thing that made the All-Star Game so great in 2001 is that the M's were awesome. I mean, it's one thing if your baseball team sucks and you get one, like, courtesy All-Star.
Yep.
You know, one guy goes out there and waves his hand and kisses babies and signs autographs, and then the real players are introduced. So the way this is setting up is potentially spectacular for our town.
I mean,
can't wait.
Unless Jerry DePoto just trips and falls all over himself between now and 2023, this team should be awesome.
What does look like? What does tripping over yourself look like?
Tripping.
Trading everybody?
Tripping over yourself means, like, every free agent you sign to fill holes fails.
Right.
And you're going to have 4 or 5 legitimate holes that you need to fill if you want this team to go from 88 wins this year to 95 to 100 wins over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to hit on all of them. You just have to – can you hit on – let's say there he brings in five new players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let's say he hits on two of them. That's really all you need, yeah, because you were already an 88-win team before you filled
those
five holes.
Well, but that's if those guys that are getting you to 88 do the exact same thing. Like, for example, Chris Flexen, who's been phenomenal,
yes,
this year.
Yes.
He's got to keep being phenomenal.
That's true.
I mean, you know, guys like that, I mean, they take steps back. I mean, Marco Gonzalez has got to take a little bit of a step forward. Yusei Kikuchi, I think, has to take a little bit of a step forward. Logan Gilbert would take a little bit of a step forward. Jared Kelnick, guys like that. So that's why I was so into making a run this year, not dumping the entire farm system. You know that. You
right,
and I
right,
talked
right,
about
right.
that, but you never know. I mean, this could be the high watermark for Chris Flexen. He may never have a year like this ever again.
He's probably the one
Who
guy,
knows?
Though. I'm trying to think of somebody else that has totally outperformed the back of his baseball
Well,
card.
Is Mitch Haniger going to be here? Is Kyle Seager going to be here? That's like 65 home runs between those two guys that if they're not here, you're going to have to replace it somehow, some way. You
yes.
know, when's Julio on the roster? What's Kelnick look like next year? So, look, I mean, I like the path the Mariners are on. Everybody likes the path they're on. I just got frustrated, as you know, and you took the brunt of that, by the way, and I apologize for that. Not really, because they should have made a bigger effort to go for it this season, but it is set up. And for Jerry Dipoto, look, I don't know if they're going to sign big-name free agents to big-money contracts. I'm not sure if that's in their MO right now, because John Stanton was around when they signed all those big contracts that did not work out, extending Felix, extending Kyle Seager, signing Robinson Cano. John Stanton may be the principal owner now, but he's been a part of this ownership
Correct.
Group for a long time. I don't know how interested they are in throwing $250, $300 million contracts at people.
I think that part's fair, but I do think John Stanton's smart enough to understand that spending money, you have to spend
sure,
the right money
of course you do.
To win baseball games.
Right.
And right now, they are spending no money. I mean, they've got – what's their payroll right now for 2022?
Like 80, oh, for 22, it's like $75 million.
Yeah, I mean, so he – I would hope if you're going to tell your general manager, you're fine, tear it all down, do what you need to do, that you have to understand on the back end of that, when you build it up, which is exactly what Jerry Dipoto's done, he's done everything he's told us he was going to do,
yep.
then John Stanton has to go the rest of the way. It's
totally,
John Stanton's
totally.
Responsibility to go to the rest of the way, to open up the purse strings so he can spend the – so he can get Marcus Semien.
Now, he needs players like that,
you
for
know,
sure.
You know, he needs yeah. a five-year, $25 million a year contract to Marcus Semien, that type of player,
yeah.
an ace of the staff, that type of player.
So the Mariners right now have $53 million committed to 2022, according to SpotTrack.com.
How much was that?
$53 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is nothing.
That's like a triple-A
I mean,
team.
Well, it's the bottom third in baseball. I mean, it's less money than – no, it's not. I was going to say it's more than the A's. It is more than the A's. But, yeah, they've got – they should have plenty of financial flexibility. All right, let's get to our friend Rick Neuheisel every Thursday at 3:10 right now.
Your home for college football Saturdays is live with CBS Sports analyst Rick Neuheisel. Powered by Taco Time. Hungry? At Taco Time, it's easy to create exactly what you're craving. And we wouldn't have it any other way. How do you Taco Time? Customize your meal and order ahead on the Taco Time Northwest app. Taco Time. Time for something different. Now with Rick Neuheisel, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Courtesy of our friends at Taco Time, we'll get Rick's Taco Time pick of the week. 2-0 after the Air Force Navy pick from last week. The only guy I know that knows a damn thing about Air Force and Navy football was Rick Neuheisel, and he nailed it last week. Air Force got the win easily. 2-0 off to a hell of a start, which is the exact opposite, Rick, of what the Dogs have done in the first two games of the year. Your handicapping record is the exact opposite of the Huskies' record so far. So we need some therapy here, man. This is ridiculous. They've scored 17 points in two games. They get blown out by Michigan. They gave up 350 yards on the ground, and I'm pissed off. Tell me what the hell we're going to do to fix this.
I knew I was going to have to calm you down today. I knew that was going to be a portion of my job description today.
You're
like
a
hanging
therapist.
On like that cat. You were like that cat in Miami Stadium last week, just hanging on for
That's
dear
right.
life.
That's right.
And I'm hopeful that I can give you some sense of calm. But it is a little bit daunting right now as you look at the Huskies 2 weeks in. Number one, it's daunting because they've run for a grand total of 115 yards. John Donovan's got to be pulling his hair out of his head, trying to figure out how he's going to right that ship, because Dylan Morris, and think about putting in another quarterback, that's going to be a problem all season long if you can't stop the if you can't run the ball.
Yeah.
Ohio State, you know, took it on the chin to Oregon this last week because they couldn't stop the run. That also showed itself in Michigan, as you pointed out, with the 335 yards of rushing. But the Ducks were able to run the ball. And if the Huskies are going to beat the Ducks, which is the goal every year, and win the North, you've got to be able to run it. Right now, they just have not found that answer, whether it means the wide receivers have to come back so that they become a threat. And defensively, you have to play a couple of two safety looks. I'm not sure what the answer is, but they've got to find that answer if they're going to be successful in the Pac-12 season, which is looming.
Well, the question, Rick, that most Husky fans right now have is, do they have the right guy at offensive coordinator to find the answers to those questions? So tell me about the timing of a firing of an offensive coordinator. What factors go into a decision like that when you decide, hey, I got to pull the plug mid-season instead of waiting until the end of the season?
Well, the issue isn't so much, you know, listen, we get to be great, very close with our staff as a head coach, right? You make these decisions, you don't make them lightly, but there's a job to be done. And sometimes you have to, you know, do things that are uncomfortable to get the job done. But if you're going to make a change, you have to ask yourself, who then is going to be responsible for the offense? Jimmy is a defensive guy. Jimmy Lake, that would be a difficult chore for him to go over there and all of a sudden start calling plays offensively. Who on that side of the ball has the chops to be able to do it if John Donovan's not there? That becomes a big question. And who out there that's not employed might be able to come in and know the offense and know all that. Those are questions that only Jimmy Lake knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's best for the program isn't necessarily just press the ejector button and have somebody out of there that might still be the best answer to fixing the problem.
Well, Junior Adams was the OC at Western Kentucky for a couple years, so he's done it before. I don't know, Rick. I just think that the atmosphere around the program could get to a point where it may not really matter. And if you're the head coach, do you worry about that, about the reaction from the fan base? Don't you have to do something if this continues?
Well, the best thing you can do is to fix the product on the field. And the best way to do that is to make sure that everybody comes to the practices engaged and believing that we can find a solution. If you've been in coaching long enough, you've been on both sides of this fence where everything looks like it's going your way and things feel easy and you can't wait to practice. And then there's those times in your career where, gosh, you can't catch a break and you can't get a first down. And how many drives in a row was it that the Huskies
20.
Went without scoring? 20 drives without scoring a point. That is like getting a tooth extracted without Novocaine. That's painful. And but this is where Jimmy's going to earn his money in terms of getting that team to believe that good things are ahead, and it has to start this week against Arkansas State.
Would you look for a schematic change offensively away from the ground and the pound, or you just try to do what you do better?
I live this. I live this front and center, both at my tour of duty there at Washington and then also at UCLA. We got to Washington and we didn't have what we needed from a speed standpoint to do all the things we'd done at Colorado. And I looked around and we were 0-2 against the Mountain West, lost to BYU and lost to Air Force. So I said there's going to be a long line, long enough to cross that Montlake Bridge over to Medina of coaches that want this job. So we better figure out an answer to this. And the answer was we had two kids from Woodinville High School by the names of Tuiasa Sopo and Conniff that ran the Veer offense. And all of a sudden we figured out a way to concoct some run offense with those two guys and their fundamentals of the Veer in tow. And then once people had to stop the Veer, now you had a chance to play action. And guys like Dane Looker and all the rest of those young receivers at Washington at the time, Todd Elstrom, they all of a sudden became guys. And because we got him into open space, and then we won 20 of the next 24 games.
Yep.
that so you've got to find an answer that gives the defense a problem that can be fixed. At UCLA, we went and studied the pistol after the 2008 season, and I got it from Chris Ault and ended up hiring his running back coach the next year to help us even take it further. And we went from under 3 yards a carry to well over four and got competitive again. So these are the kind of things coaches have to do. You got to scratch out an answer. You can't sit and say it's just going to get better because we say it is.
I think he needs more seasoning on his staff. I think he needs veteran guys, Rick. Even Chris Peterson leaned on Jeff Tedford as an advisor, and Mario Cristobal has two ex-head coaches as his coordinator. Jimmy doesn't have any of that on his staff. Am I crazy?
No, I think especially in this world where, you know, analysts are in vogue, it makes sense to have people around you, and it doesn't cost the department a lot of money. Guys like being around programs and being close to the action without necessarily the pressure of the full-time designation. So getting guys with a lot of football acumen who have solved these kind of problems before in their careers or been on staffs that had these kind of problems makes a lot of sense and should be absolutely a consideration as you're trying to fix these kind of problems.
You are the perfect person to ask this next question. USC needs a head coach. What are the unique qualifications that fit coaching in Los Angeles?
Well, they're used to the Pete Carroll role as, you know, that kind of rah-rah guy is what everybody's thinking that they want right there. And he did it beautifully. I mean, he was outstanding, but people forget he was about the fifth or sixth choice.
Right.
When they were going looking for a coach, he was he was kind of his own carnival barker at the end, you know, because he'd been jettisoned by the NFL. So he kind of fought to get that chance. Fortunately, it fell in his lap, and then he was brilliant. And frankly, has been brilliant ever since. He's been marvelous as the Seahawk coach because he brings that kind of enthusiasm. So now you immediately start thinking that maybe it has to be that kind of enthusiasm that the Trojans need. Today's college football coach, to me, the first thing you do is you go get the general manager, because college football has changed so dramatically in the last decade that really you need somebody that's going to go find you the guys in the portal. You're going to get somebody that can find the NIL deals that will help attract the youngsters to come, because they certainly are going to be enticed by other schools with NIL deals. And you need to have somebody that's completely aware of all that's going on in the program from the different avenues that people roster manage. There's a new rule in effect right now that's going to allow for 32 initials as opposed to 25. Hasn't been ratified yet, but certainly looks as if it's headed that direction. A general manager can make this job more like an NFL job, where maybe the recruiting piece of it isn't as daunting, and maybe you don't have to do that. So maybe that rah-rah personality, the lord of the living room, isn't so necessary. Now, who's the best football coach? Nick Saban went to Alabama and said, I'm not doing the Red Elephant Clubs. I'm not doing the A Club. We're going to do it this way. And they looked at him because of the enormous money that they paid him to get to leave Miami, and they said, okay, coach. Well, it's turned out pretty good. So to me, and I don't know that Chris Peterson wants this job. I don't know that but somebody like Chris Peterson, who, as a matter of fact, turned it down because he didn't want to do all that pomp and circumstance, maybe they're ready to say, we don't need pomp and circumstance. We just need a heck of a football coach. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in that category finds his way to Los Angeles.
All right, before you go, my Taco Time pick of the week, I'm going to roll with a coconut shrimp Baja, not the soft taco, because I want the smaller snack size, so I'm not ruining my dinner when I go back to Taco Time tonight and grab my natural chicken soft taco, by the way. So you're 2-0 on the year. You got the Navy Air Force game a year ago. Who the hell gets the Air Force Navy game besides Rick Neuheisel? You're 2-0 on the year. Let's make it 3-0 with your Taco Time pick of the week. What do you like?
We have a 50th anniversary of the 1-2 matchup between Oklahoma and Nebraska. That game is going to kick off early. I think it's big noon for the Fox broadcast.
Yep.
11 a.m. in Norman. Nebraska and Oklahoma ready to do battle. Oklahoma struggled in week one defensively. Tulane was able to score 35 points. I don't think Nebraska has the same speed. Adrian Martinez had a nice game last week, but that was against Buffalo. I think the Sooners cover the 22. I'm taking Oklahoma.
Oklahoma given 22.5. We'll roll with that against Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Rick, good stuff, and hopefully by this time next week we're talking about at least a 1-2 Husky football team, because that would be really bad if they're 0-3. All right, man. Good stuff. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Coach.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Take care. Softy, deep breaths. Deep breath.
Yes, sir. I got you. Rick Neuheisel likes Oklahoma minus the points against Nebraska. We'll get to Factor Fiction Thursday, Dick Day, next from the Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue, baby, right here on 950 KJ.